withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
My broken heart, I'm withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
My lack, God, I'm withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Now fill it up.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
I give you all of me.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Holding nothing.
Withholding
nothing.
Holding nothing.
Holding
nothing. Withholding nothing. Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
Withholding nothing.
I give you all of it.
Withholding nothing.
Yeah.
Withholding nothing.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, now in this moment, we break forth our alabaster box. The sacrifice we lay before you now. We hold back not our praise, not our worship, God. We give it all to you today. All of our hurts, our pains, our brokenness, God, we give it all to you. Our wins and our losses, God, we give it all to you. Our hopes, our desires, our plans, God, we give it all to you. All to you. In Jesus' mighty name. Come on, celebrate the Lord Jesus today. Clap your hands and give the Lord a praise. Come on, you can do better than that. Thank you. Hallelujah. Withholding nothing. Hallelujah. Withholding nothing. Hallelujah. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Glory to his name. Jesus. Can we clap for the worship? Come on, clap your hands. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you're here for the first, second, or reoccurring time, this has been multiple times the Lord, by his Spirit, has been leading you to this place. Even if it's your first or second time, do me a favor for my sake. Just wave, lift your hand, wave it at me. First, second, reoccurring. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you. Thank y'all for being here on this morning. We know you could have been anywhere, but thank you for deciding to worship and the fellowship with us today. For those of you online, we thank God for each of you as well who have decided to tune into our live stream and broadcast. Do me a favor, if you would, take out your electronic devices, share this live stream with one of your family members or your friends or on your social media platforms. Give everyone an opportunity to fellowship with us on today. Like, share, follow, and tag if you would. Be a digital evangelist. Amen. Amen. Afraid to open your mouth and speak to somebody? Let your fingers do the talking. Amen. Hallelujah. While you're doing so, a couple things that I want to share with you before we get into the word of the Lord on this morning. Of course, Kayla, focus number one. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Also grab Habakkuk chapter number 2. We'll begin in verse number 1 there. If you have it, say, I have it. If you're looking, say, I'm looking. There's a couple lookers that were honest. If you're waiting for me to put it on the screen, say, thank you, Jesus. It's more thank you, Jesus, than I have it. Repeat with me our faith declaration on this morning, if you would. Say it loudly and proudly as we make our confession of faith. Amen. Say, today I'll be taught the word of God. My spirit is ready. My mind is sharp. I believe the word. The word is truth. It is without error. I believe what the word says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I believe what the word says about me. I am redeemed. I am the righteous of God in Christ Jesus. I am healed. no sickness nor disease shall come near my home. I'm more than a conqueror. I'm rich. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. Talk to your neighbor for a second. Say, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Wake up your other neighbor for me. Say, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Come on, point to yourself. Say, wealth and riches shall be in this house. Shall I'm blessed to be a blessing. My house is blessed. My marriage is blessed. My children are blessed. My church is blessed. Somebody shout, my church is blessed. Shout, I'm blessed. Now shout amen if you would. We're going to start in Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1. Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1. The word of the Lord declares to us, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. What am I answer to when I'm corrected? Let me stop for a second, a pause for the cause. You're going to have to answer for what you do. You're going to have to answer for what you do. And the writer says, I'm going to stand watch. When he speak, I'm going to answer, even in my correction. Now, you can choose to respond properly or improperly. You can choose to say what is rightfully to be said. Or you can open up your mouth in error. But you are going to have to answer. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that we will be held accountable for every idle word. Tell your neighbor, you're going to have to answer. That's what the books say. Don't look at me like that. Verse number 2, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet an appointed time, for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak, and it will not die. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, and it will not tarry. Tell your neighbor, it's going to happen. Just like you said it was going to happen. Okay. I'm still in the book. Verse number 4. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. This is what I want to land on this text. But let the just live by faith. Okay, let me read like the book say. But the just shall live by faith. The just won't live by faith. He commands us to live by faith. Faith is designed or defined as the belief in or having confidence or trust in God. I'll say that again. It's defined as the belief in or having confidence or trust in God. Jump over to Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Somebody shout, now faith. Yep. Faith is not for later. Faith is not. Now, I may be dating myself right now, and I know you've been standing for like a long time right now. I mean, but if I'm going to stand the rest of the time, surely you can stand for this brief time. But y'all remember this candy called Now and Later? Somebody said banana. Where my watermelon people at? What, a green apple? Got the green apple people, strawberry people? But see, in the hood, we call it Now Later. And I was yesterday old when I first realized that it's now and later. And if you read the package, it says some for now and some for later. But the book tells us faith is not for later, it's for it's now faith. Not faith for the future, but faith for the now. And it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not yet seen. I'm going to let you sit. I see you getting weary. But just because you don't see it doesn't mean you don't have it. Oh, Father, we thank you now for the now faith. I pray this morning our spirits are open to activate the faith of which you have given. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen. And amen. On your way to your seat, slap high five with your neighbor and say, God's not done yet. You can be seated in the presence of the Lord. I'll try to make work of this, but bear with me. There's different types of faith. Different types of faith. Faith is a general term that we tend to utilize a great deal. There's at least four type of faith that the Bible talks about. Of course, there's many more, but there's four I want to deal with on this morning. Different types of faith. Number one, there's dead faith. Dead faith. The Bible talks about faith without works is dead. So there's a dead faith that the Bible speaks about. And I'll expound greater in these types of faith. There's a second type of faith. There's a demonic faith. What do you mean, Apostle? Demonic faith. This is the type of faith that's intellectual. The Bible says that even demons tremble at the name. They have faith, but they just don't have obedience to the word of faith. They have faith in Christ. They know who Christ is, but they just won't obey him. It's demonic faith. It's all intellectual. It's what they think. It's what they want to use their own psychological processes and analysis of things. It's a demonic faith. Let me say it and make it more plain to you in this place. When you try to lean on your own understanding, when you try to do things the way you think it should be done, go the way you feel you should go, you're actually operating in demonic faith. Oh, y'all not going like me at this point. And so whenever you're trying to, in your own mind, fashion, and when you're trying to strategize your own life and plan for your own life, you're really operating in a demonic faith. In other words, you're in rebellion to the will and the plan of God for your life. And so whenever you try to do as you want to do, you acting just like a demon. Whenever you go against God's will and you go against God's plan for your life, you're doing just as demons do. They're rebelling against God. I want to go my own way. I want to do it my own way. It's that kind of Burger King type of faith. Have it your way instead of Yahweh's way. It's doing it how you want to do it. That's demonic. Tell your neighbor that's demonic. And so there's demonic faith. There's demonic faith when you're operating in your own intellect, when your own thought processes, when you're trying to strategize and plan your own life. There's another kind of faith that I want to talk about today. It's a vain faith. Vain faith. Vain faith. The Bible talks about it this way. It says there will be many that come up to him and say, Lord, Lord, have we not? We prophesied in your name, healed in your name, cast out demons in your name. We've done all this. Vain faith. This is what I done. It's all about me. Vain faith is vain faith, where it's all focused on my works and my deeds and what I have done to please the Lord. And it's vain faith. But the last one is really where we're going to rest on today. And I hope you will shout. It's the saving faith. Saving faith. Saving faith. Romans talks about that faith, that when we have faith in Christ, when we confess with our mouths and believe in our heart, it's that saving faith. We are saved by grace and not by works. We're saved by grace. You know grace has a name. Tell your neighbor, you know grace has a name. We got a whole row of guests here. We'll talk back, church. So if y'all would just indulge me for a second, talk to your neighbor and say, we have, grace has a name. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Grace has a name. You know what grace name is? Jesus. Grace has a name. Grace died on the cross for you. Grace suffered for you. Grace took nails and thorns just for your sake. Grace has a name, and it's grace name is Jesus. And so there's a saving faith. And we're going to break this down. And I want to take the text that you have heard so many times before. I'm going to give you a fresh look at Mark chapter number 4 and verse number 35. And it says, And the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. That's an important point that I want you to understand right there. They took him even as he was in the ship. And there was also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder parts of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him, and they said unto him, Master, carest not thou, not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have, help me if you would, somebody shout, no faith. And they were feared exceedingly and said to one another, what manner of man is this? In the voice of Squeak from Color Purple, Harpo, who this? What manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? I want to take and lift from this text for our thought today. God's not done. What manner of man is this? Ask your neighbor, what manner of man is this? And so when we look at Jesus Christ and all that he has done, we have to ask ourselves daily, continually, what manner of man is this? What manner of man that would come down from glory where he is worshiped 24/7? What manner of man would come down and, as John tells us in verse number 4, John chapter 1, dwell himself in flesh? What manner of man would come from glory down into this filthy flesh to die for you and I? What manner of man is this? What manner of man would be willing to pay a high price? To pay for sins that he did not have to pay for. What manner of man is this that would take your place and my place upon the cross where we belong, to be hung high, stretched wide? What manner of man is that? And so when we think about faith and we talk about faith and these different types of faith, everyone's faith is not the same. But everyone have some faith. Everyone has some faith. We all have faith. Romans tells us that God has given us a measure of faith. In verse number 35, it says, the same day when evening has come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now watch, this is a faith statement. Let us pass to the other side. In other words, I'm setting a way mark, a marker on the way we're going. I'm setting a destination. We're going to the other side. Tell your neighbor we're going to the other side. And so it's a faith statement because we don't know what's to come in between the place where we are and the place we're going. And so it's a faith statement because he's saying at this point, he's saying, I know where we are now, but I'm also setting a marker of where we're going. And I'm not telling you that it's a possibility we're going to make it to the other side. I'm not telling you there's a chance
that we're going to make it to the other side. I'm not telling you that I don't know if we're going to make it to the other side. I'm saying we're going to the other side. I'm by faith telling you that we're crossing over regardless of the obstacles, the barriers, the trials, the tribulations, whatever it may be. It may be some sharks in the water, but we're going to the other side. There may be some thieves that may rob us in the midst of the journey, but we're going to the other side. Yeah, we may have some sickness or some disease, some lack, some repossessions. We may have some foreclosures, but we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. I don't care what the doctor report says. We're going to the other side. And so by faith, they had to take him, watch this, even as he was. And so they get in the boat. Verse number 37 says, I want to go back to verse number 36. It says, and when they had sent the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And watch, and there was also with him other little ships. Remember, I told you everyone has faith, but everybody's faith is not the same. So they had some people in the big ship, but they had some people in the little ship. There are some people with big faith, then there's some people with some. We all have faith, but we all have different kinds of faith, different levels of faith. There were some that got in the big ship and said, I want to be like the big boy, and I want to travel with the big boys. And there was others who said, we're going to sit at the kiddie table. But nevertheless, we're at the table. Tell your neighbor, I don't have your faith, but I have faith. Yeah. And so the little ships followed along with him just as well. And there arose a great storm. Some translate say a tempest, a great storm. And as this storm began to rage, the waves beat into the ship so that it was full. Now, remember, there were little ships and a big ship. So the same storm that the big ship was in was the same storm the little ship was in. I'm not saying nothing. The same storm that hit the big boat also had an impact on the little boats. And just because of the faith statement that Jesus made, we're going to the other side. I don't know about you, but when I travel, I like flying on the big plane. It's something about those little crop dusters. You know, you ever travel from Houston, from Texas to Baton Rouge? They put you on that little double engine propeller plane, and it's smaller than the big birds. And so you would go through sometimes turbulence. Now, if you ever been on a big plane, you hit a little turbulence, the pilot would get, he'll go, hello, this is Captain Reshaw. We're flying on Delta Airlines, flight 1485, heading to Atlanta. We're about to experience some turbulence, so I need you to return to your seats and put your seatbelts on. And he'll make that declaration. You go, click, put your boom, seatbelt light come on, and you hit the turn. Boom. That's it. And you hit another little pocket. Boom. That's it. But then when you're coming from Texas to Baton Rouge, this is Paula Reshaw. We're flying on flight 902, and we're about to experience some turbulence. Put your seatbelt on and put your seat in the upright position. We're about to hit some turbulence. And then, boom, and here come the turbulence. Good Lord. Feel like you're, yeah, but you feel yourself. And it's like you feel like the plane about to fall out the sky. Now watch the same turbulence that the big plane went through. It's the same turbulence the small plane went through. But the smaller plane had a bigger impact than the big plane. But both of them still was in the plane. There are some things that you're going to face and go through in life. You may be in the little ship. You may be in the little boat, and you're going to go through some trials and some tribulation. You're going to go through some turbulence in your life, but stay in the boat. It may hit you hard. It may feel like your life is about to end. The bottom is about to fall out the thing. But if you stay in faith, the same faith that the one in the big boat had is the same faith the one in the little boat had. And even though their experiences were different, the result was the same. We're going to the other side. Tell your neighbor, we're going to the other side. And so the little ship, when the storm began to beat against the boat, it was full. Same water that went in the big ship was the same water that went in the little ship. Now, the big ship was full. So you can only imagine how much water was in the little boat. I'll talk about that some other time. And verse number 38, and it says, and when he was in the hinder parts, he was in the backside of the boat, he was asleep on the pillow. And they awake him, and they said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and the sea, and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful now? How is it that you have no faith? And they were afraid exceedingly, and said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So if we said to you earlier, there's dead faith as a type of faith. Faith without works is dead. According to James chapter number 2, verse number 17, it says, thus also faith by itself, it does not work, does not have works, is dead. So faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. So we see that these who heard his voice was not operating in dead faith. They put some work to their faith. They took his word and they got in the boat in spite of what was to come. They weren't operating in dead faith. They had some faith. Somebody shout, some faith. Real faith will produce real fruit. Real faith will produce real fruit. When you're operating in faith, real faith, there should be some results of your faith. It'll produce real fruit in your life. And we go back to the text, and it says, and when he was in the hinder part of the ship, he was asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? They were operating in demonic faith at this point. Why? Because he said, we're going to the other side. But intellectually, they couldn't figure it out. How are we going to make it to the other side with this big storm in front of us? They were allowing the demonic spirit to bring about doubt into their lives, not to hold to what was said. What was said, we're going to the other side. Their faith was intellectual because they're looking at their circumstances and their situation, and they're saying, we can't make it based upon what we see. So they're allowing their intellectual faith, their demonic faith, to dictate how they believed in God. Oh, okay. And so there was the demonic faith, and then there's vain faith. Vain faith. Look in the next verse, in verse number 38, and it says, he was in the hinder parts, and he was asleep on the pillow. And they awake him, and they ask, Master, carest not that we perish? Now, here's vain faith. We have enough faith to believe that you could save us. But you don't have enough faith to even save yourself, Jesus. You don't care about us? Wait a minute. We're going through it right now, and you don't have enough faith to even wake up and do something about this situation to save even your own self? But watch how they say it, though. Care is not that we perish? So let's put you aside, Jesus. You asleep. What about us? What about you waking up and saving us? Saving faith. We just concerned about us and nobody else. But how Jesus responds in the moment of correction. Remember, you're going to have to answer one day. Watch how Jesus answers as they're trying to correct him. Carest not about us? They're trying to correct Jesus. And watch Jesus' response. And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. This is what we call saving faith. Saving faith. He was willing to save them even though they were not operating in full faith. He was still willing to give saving faith. Verse number 41, and they were exceedingly afraid. And they asked the question, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? My last point I would like to make to you today. It's not enough just to have Jesus with you, but you must know that he is with you. It's not enough just to know that Jesus is in the boat, but you have to know that he is with you. And let me say it this way. There are some people who will go with you, and they'll be there with you, but there are not everybody who is there for you. There are some people who are with you. There's a multitude of people in this building right now. And here's the thing. Everybody is here with us, but everybody ain't for us. You got to know that he is, when I say with you, I got to know who's really with me. And the only way to really know who is really with you or for you in this scenario is that those who will stand with you and not run when trials and tribulations come your way. Okay. And so back in the hood, you can tell who was really for you amongst those who were with you. You know, if ever something popped off, where my hoodies at? One, two. One, okay. There's about five of us in here. Your hoodie? Where my hoodie? You a broke hoodie. You got that? You can't do nothing. A broke hoodie. And so in the hood, watch this. Whenever something pop off, whenever there was a fight, you could tell all of those who were really for you is because they stuck around. Now those who were with you but really weren't for you, when something pop off, they took off. So it's not enough just to know that Jesus is with you, but you got to know that he's with you. And that's the fourth part, is because no matter what I go through in life, lo, as the scripture says, he will be with me until the very end. I know he'll be with me, but I also know he's there for me. And with this knowing that he is with me, it also comes the fact that he is for me. So no matter what storms I face in life, not only is Jesus in the boat with me, but he is also in the boat for me. So when those things happen and it comes your way, you can look around and see Jesus there, and you can now turn back and face whatever you're facing, because what Jesus is, he also does where he is. Let me say that. And so he is able to do even in the midst of a storm. So wherever he is where he is able to do. And so if he is there with you, he is able to do whatever it needs to be done. And so here it is. We marvel at what kind of man this is. Even in life, when we're going through hard times, trials and tribulations, broken hearts, he's there with us. But he's also there for us. He's there to comfort us in the middle of the night, when trying times, when we want to cry our eyes out. He's not just there in the corner saying, I'm here, my beloved. But he's also here to comfort you. You may be going through great loss right now. Your marriage is on the shambles, is on the brink. Know that Jesus is with you, but he's also there for you. He's the one to hold it all together. The repo man may be in the parking lot hooking up your car, because you've been hiding it all week at your in-law's house. I don't mean to put all your business out. But not only is he here with you, he's here for you. Why? Because he makes this faith declaration. We're going to the other side. So regardless of the loss along the way, you're going to make it to the other side. And the other side is far better than the starting side. So no matter how you started this thing, better is the ending of a thing. And so you may start off in lack. Come on, help me, somebody. And even though you may start off in deficiency, I wish I had a church right here. You may start off low, but you're going to end up high. For he says you shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. What manner of man that will take a man from the bottom and move him to the top? What manner of man that will take somebody who is held bondage, who's held in captivity, and set them free? What manner of man that will come down 42 generations, be hung on Calvary to set the captives? What manner of man? What manner of man? What manner of man? What manner of man is this that would do so much with so little? What manner of man would do so much with so little? Some of us today is in a little boat, but what manner of man would do so much with so little? I don't have much. I don't know much. But this I do know. I know somebody who can do. I know a man. I said I know a man. In all of my lack, in all of my misunderstanding, I know a man who can do more with the little that I have than I could with my own hands. What manner of man is this? Would you stand to your feet all over this place? I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know what storm you're in. I don't know your mode of transportation. What boat, the big boat, the little boat, or no boat at all. You may just have floaties on today. But whatever it is, the faith declaration is we're going to the other side. I don't know what circumstances you're facing right now, but this I do know, that there's a promise. We're going to the other side. You may be drifting on a driftwood, a piece of wood in the ocean. Don't you know that's enough to get to the other side? You know why? Because he said you're going to the other side. So it's your faith. And he has given you saving faith to be able to make it to the other side. But it begins with knowing that he's there with you. And in order to know him, you must be introduced to him. And I'd like to introduce you to him today. With your heads bowed. There's some of you here today. You have not accepted Jesus in the pardon of your sins. That's my first appeal. Secondly, there are those of you who are backslid. You allow the demonic faith to set in and you begin to doubt who Jesus is. He's calling you back home today. I speak to you today in your spirit. Holy Spirit, have your way in their hearts. Draw them back into the household of faith on today. Do it now. If you're here today and you hadn't accepted Jesus in the pardon of your sins, maybe you have your backslidden, but today you want to get it right. Don't try to weather this storm without Jesus being in the boat with you. You won't make it, beloved. You won't make it. If that's you today, would you simply slip your hand in the air? Let me see you today. You want to say, Jesus, today I'm getting it right today. Today is the day. I'm not going to leave this place the same. I'm inviting you into the boat with me. I'm inviting your presence. If that's you today, let me see you. Lift your hand. Thank you, Father God. We bless you, God. We thank you. And God, we give you glory. God, we give you glory. And God, we give you praise. Thank you, Father. Saints are praying all over this place. Do the work of evangelists. Just nudge your neighbor and say, is Jesus in your boat? Is Jesus in your boat? Ask your neighbor, is Jesus in your boat? They said no. Lift your hand for their sake. Thank you, Father. We bless you and we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. And my last appeal to you today, if you don't have a church home and the Spirit of the Lord drew you to this place and you would say, this is the place God is calling me to and I want to be a part of what God is doing here at Elevate Church, if that's you today, would you lift your hand? Thank you, Father. I see you, sir.
I believe there's another that would say, today is the day. I need to be a part of a family of faith. Internet service is great. We have it here too as well. But you need to be connected to a body. Because it's that body that's going to stand with you on that day when we have to lay your body to rest. That's the importance of having a church family. For when your light goes out, who's going to bury your lamp? Who's going to speak over your life? Who's going to say unto the people the life you live? Who's praying for your soul? That's why you got to be connected to a body. Bishop Jakes ain't going to fly down to Louisiana to eulogize you. Joe Osteen is not going to take time to eulogize you. Michael Todd is not going to fly in. That's why you need to be connected to a local body, so that you can have someone who can speak over your body, who knows your body. Yeah, that's when you're connected to. If that's you today, I don't have a church home, but today I'm connected. Let me see you in the place. Thank you, Father God. We bless you. God, we thank you. And God, we give you praise. Come on, clap your hands all over this place. Give God some praise. Give God some glory. Trust me, beloved, God sees, God knows, God cares, and God saves. In Jesus' mighty name. Blessing, beloved, to each of you. I'm going to have Mr. Tremaine, won't you close us out in prayer, if you would. For our first time, second time, even third time, yes, I would love to meet you and greet you. I will be over here to the door, my left, your right. I would ask that you depart from the sanctuary out of the two doors, my right, your left. My left, your right, as we make room for our 11:15 service. God bless you and keep you is my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Let us pray. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for such an opportunity just to come here and experience your love, your presence. Father, we thank you for your word today. And God, we pray in the name of Jesus that your word have fell on good ground. Lord God, that it may manifest in our life.
Hallelujah. Thank you. Come on, lift your hands all over the place. And with the fruit of your lips, tell the Lord, my life is not my own. My life belongs to you. My life belongs to you. My life belongs to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, clap your hands together. 225-361-2016. Text the word revival. Just the word revival. No quotation marks, nothing extra, just revival to that number to reserve your seat. Let's jump to the word of God on today. Amen. As we prepare to deliver this word, grab your Bibles all over the place. Hallelujah. I feel his presence in this house. Grab Habakkuk, chapter number 2, verse number 1. Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1. We'll begin in Habakkuk, but I want you to jump over to Hebrews chapter number 11. Hold your finger there at Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 1 there. We'll begin in Habakkuk. If you would stand to your feet with me as we honor the reading of God's word. And we make our faith declaration in this house. If you would, repeat after me. Today I'll be taught the word of God. My mind is ready. Yeah, it is. My mind is ready. My spirit is ready to receive. Yeah. My mind is ready. I'm changing up on you today because I want you to get your mind right. Get your mind right. With all that's happening in us and around us, you got to get your mind right. Get your mind fixed on the things of God. My mind is ready. My spirit is ready to receive. Because if your mind is not ready to receive or is not ready to be right, then your spirit won't be in a good position to receive it. So you got to get your, look at your neighbor and say, get your mind right. I believe the word. The word is truth. It is without error. I believe what the word says. I can have what it says I can have. I can do what it says I can do. I can be what it says I can be. I believe what the word says about me. I am redeemed. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am healed. No sickness nor disease shall come near my home. I'm more than a conqueror. I am rich. Wealth and riches shall be in my house. Talk to your neighbor for me for a second. Say, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Find another neighbor. Say, wealth and riches shall be in your house. Declare that over yourself. Say, wealth and riches shall be in this house. Shout, I'm blessed to be a blessing. My house is blessed. My marriage is blessed. My children are blessed. My church is blessed. Shout, I'm blessed. Shout again, I'm blessed. Now say amen if you believe it. Amen. Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1. Habakkuk chapter number 2, verse number 1. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he shall say to me. And what I will answer when I am corrected. I'm going to set watch. But I'm also going to keep my ears open to hear what God has to say. And then I also have to prepare myself to answer when he brings forth correction. Let me stop and pause for the cause for a second. You will have to answer for everything you choose to do in life. You will have to answer. Now the question is, will you answer appropriately? You're going to have to answer one day. But will you answer in the right way? Will you answer in a way that when God corrects you, you can receive the correction and move forward in life? Will you answer the right way? Verse number 2, it says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it shall not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Somebody shall wait for it. Because it will surely come to pass. So surely come to pass. Watch. Just as you wrote it. Y'all not reading the book, are you? He said, write the vision down. Make it plain. That he that read it may run with it, and it shall come to pass. What are you reading? What you wrote. Y'all missed that. He said, write the vision, make it down, make it plain. Write it down, make it plain. That he that read it may run with it. What are you reading? What you wrote. And though it'll tarry, it's going to take time. Wait for it. Tell your neighbor, wait for it. If you wait for what you wrote, you're going to see what you wrote. Write the vision down. Make it plain. Don't try to be so spiritual. Put all these fluffy words. Don't make it so spiritual. Make it plain. Tell your neighbor, make it plain. Lord thou God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the grand architect of the universe. No. Tell your neighbor, make it plain. Don't write in King James, in other words. Keep it NIV, NLT. Make it plain. Keep it in the Amplified. Tell your neighbor, keep it simple. And he says, write the vision down, make it plain, and at the end it will, and it shall not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Verse number 4, behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just live by his faith. No. Don't shout amen yet. Because it says, but the just shall. Don't just say amen to what I say. Say amen to what's written. Y'all. And the just shall. He commands the just to live by faith. Are you there? Faith is defined as the belief in or having confidence or trust in God. That's what faith is. Jump over to Hebrews. As we expound greater. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. Now faith is the substance of things. Help me preach. Now faith is the substance of things. The evidence of things. Faith. Maybe date myself, but I'm sure I got some old heads in here with me. But y'all remember that candy from the hood, from the candy later called Now Later? Y'all remember that? See, in the hood, we call it Now Later. Now Later. Now Later. I was yesterday old when I found out it was Now and Later. And if you read the package, Pastor Travis, says some for now and some for later. Now, later. But the book says faith is, okay, y'all not there yet. The book says faith is now. Not for later, not for future, not tomorrow, not next week, not when you already have it. Faith is. Now faith is. Now faith. Some of you are waiting till you get it to shout. Some of you are waiting to post on Facebook once you have it to give God glory for it. But the book says, now faith. Now. Help me again. Somebody shout now. Father, now in the name of Jesus, I thank you now, God, for healing manifesting in the bodies of those who are sick. Father, now I thank you for those who are held in captivity. Father, they are set free. Now, Father, I thank you those who are in lack. Father, I thank you now, God, that they are provided in provision and abundance and an overflow, God. I thank you now, God, that those who are healed, Lord God, caught up in issues and trials and tribulations, I thank you now, God. Freedom is their portion. Thank you now. For every relationship that has been strained, I thank you now, God, for reconciliation. I thank you now that it's done. Thank you for the vision that has been written.
on the tablets of their hearts. I thank you now, God, it has already manifested now in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout now. Somebody shout, I receive it. Shout now. In Jesus' name. You may be seated in his presence. Hear this statement. Just because you don't see it, it doesn't mean you don't have it. That's something you need to write down and encourage yourself later. Just because I don't see it, it doesn't mean I don't have it. Let me give you practical application to it. Your Amazon cart is filled with stuff. It's full. And watch it. You've already paid for it, but don't have it. But you have it. It's on the way. Tell your neighbor it's on the way. And so by faith, you enter your credit card to purchase an item that you don't have tangibly. But by faith, you say, I have it. So if somebody asks you, say, hey, you seen those new Gucci shoes or whatever. Yeah, I ordered a pair last week. And she says in my card. It's on the way. Somebody shout, it's on the way. You don't have it, but you telling folk that you have it. So just because you don't see it does not mean that you don't have it. And that's what God says. By faith, there's some things I have done for you. It's already done. And because you don't see it does not mean that you don't have it. So there's different kinds of faith. Different kinds of faith. Number one, there's dead faith. Dead faith. You may want to take notes today. There's dead faith. Dead faith. The Bible says faith without works is what? Okay, I got some Bible readers in the house. So there's dead faith. There's dead faith. That's number one. Number two, there's demonic faith. Demonic faith. We're going to talk about that as well. That's demonic faith. Number three is vain faith. Vain faith. All of these, the Bible talk. There's many more types of faith, but I'm going to cover four today. Dead faith, demonic faith, vain faith. And then lastly, I hope you shout on this one, saving faith. Okay, no shouters in the house. That's okay. But there's the different types of faith that we're going to discover here as we read along. Dead faith, demonic faith, vain faith, and saving faith. Different types. Because faith is a general statement that we use on a lot of things, but we're going to cover these four. Every individual has different types of faith. And from time to time throughout life, you're going to experience all four of these and more in your life. Oh, well, you know, I'll never have demonic faith. You're going to see at times you operate in demonic faith. Okay. We're going to help you today. Somebody shout, help me. And so we exercise all four of these types of faith in our lives. Turn to Mark chapter number 4, verse number 35. We'll start in 35. And it says, and the same day when the evening was come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. Underline that in your Bible if you're not too sanctimonious and too spiritual. Underline. You can write in your Bible. Y'all know that, right? Amen. Okay. Underline that. They took him even as he was. We'll come back to that. In the ship. And there were also with him other little ships. Put a star by that. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? Remember, I told you you're going to have to answer one day. He asked the question. He said, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? Or better yet, in the voice of Squeak from Color Purple, Harpo, who this? Harpo, this woman? And they marveled amongst themselves because they saw this great feat, and they were afraid, exceedingly afraid, and they asked, what manner of man is this that the wind and the sea obey him? I'd like to lift from the text for a second as a second addition to this sermon. God's not done yet. What manner of man is this? That's my topic for today. What manner of man is this? What manner of man would come down through generation after generation, 42 generations, to be dwelled in flesh among us, to be crucified on the Christ, to pay a price for sins that he did not even commit? What manner of man is this? What manner of man to take someone who is so lowly and lift them highly? What manner of man is this? What manner of man would take stripes upon his back for sickness and disease, and so that we can be healed? What manner of man is this that would die a substitutionary death? I'll give you a big P word for today. It's called propitiation, to substitute. Yeah, remember back in school when you had a substitute teacher that was a replacement for the real teacher? Where my teacher's at? Amen. Where my bad kids in the back of the class at? You were happy, oh, what a day when you had a substitute teacher. Huh? Where y'all at? I know you're in the building. Uh-huh. High school, we skipped class. We went hide behind the building. Amen. Y'all remember when the substitute came in, huh? You know, it wasn't going to be no homework. It wasn't going to be no classwork. You skipped out. You know, when you had a substitute. The substitute was taking place for the real. And Jesus came as a propitiation, as a substitute, to hang on the cross where you and I should have hung. What manner of man would do that? Somebody shout, only Jesus. Okay, let's move expeditiously through this. Everyone has faith. Everyone's faith is not the same, but everyone has some faith. Romans tells us that God has given us a measure of faith. Everyone has a measure of faith. So let's talk faith in the terms of which the text speaks about. In verse number 35 of verse of chapter 4 of Mark, it says, in the same day, when the evening has come, he said unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Jesus is giving them a faith statement, a declaration that we're going to the other side. Now, here's the thing about this statement. He says, we're going to the other side, not knowing what would be an hindrance or an inhibitor to them crossing over to the other side. He don't know if there's sharks in the water. He don't know if a storm is coming. None of these things, well, Jesus knows, but the people don't know. And he says, we're going to the other side. It's a faith statement. He says that I don't care what's going to happen along the way, we're going to the other side. Come on, help me preach to your neighbor. Say, we're going to the other side. And so you got to know this, is that we're going to the other side. So no matter what happens in life, your end result is what Jesus said at the start of the thing. It's going to be settled in the end of the thing. So what he said at the beginning is so in the end. We're going to the other side. What he said in the beginning will be settled in the end, because we're going to the other side. So I don't care if the repo man is not out there in the parking lot hooking up your car. We're going to the other side. I don't care what the doctor said about how long you have to live. We're going to the other side. So what he says in the beginning, he has already settled in the end. What manner of man can speak to the end of the thing at the beginning of the thing? Somebody shout, only Jesus. And he tells them, he said, let's get in the boat. We're going to the other side. Excuse me. We're going to the other side. They get into the boat. The text tells us as they get into the boat, there's also other little boats going along with them. Remember I told you that we all have faith, but our faith is different. There were some with big faith, they got in the big boat, and then there were others with little faith, they got in the little boats. There were some who said, you know what, we're just going to get in the little boat and we're going to follow y'all. And some got in the big boat with Jesus and said, you know, we're going to roll with Jesus. And in the midst of them, in the process of following the command and the commission of Jesus, they run into a storm. The Bible says in some translations, a great storm or a tempest, a raging storm, almost like a typhoon, waters and waves, 30 and 50 feet, hitting the boat, boom, boom. And as they're in the boat, the Bible says that as they go through the storm, the boat now begins to fill up with water. Now watch, the reason why I had you put a story by little boats is because the same experience that the big boat had, the little boat had as well. They all going through the same storm. All right, let me bring it home to you a little closer. Have you ever traveled on an airplane traveling from one state to the next? Or better yet, have you ever traveled from Baton Rouge to Texas? Now, when you travel from Baton Rouge to Texas, you don't get on one of those big 747s. They put you on one of them little, I call them a crop duster. A little two-engine plane. A little small plane. And so you get on the plane, and you know, smaller plane. When you're traveling internationally, they put you on a big 747. And I watch this how it goes. On the big plane, the captain comes on over. Boom. This is your captain speaking. Captain Richard, I'll be your pilot for today. Up ahead, there's a little turbulence. So I need you to return to your seats, put your seats in the upright position, put your table trays in position, and put your seatbelt on, because we're about to experience some turbulence. That's what they tell you. And then as you go through some turbulence, you're like, that's it. Then you go through a little more and okay. Now, in the little plane, the crop duster, the two-engine plane, this is your pilot speaking, Captain Keith Richard. Greetings to you. You're on flight 902 from Houston to Baton Rouge. We're about to experience some turbulence. I need you to return to your seat. Put your seat in the upright position. Return your trays into position. And put your seatbelt on. And then here comes the turbulence. Yeah. Now watch. Both planes experience same turbulence. Big plane, little plane, but they both experiencing the same thing. Now, in the little plane, you experience even greater. But the big plane, you experience a lot less. However, they're going through the same thing. What does this mean to your faith? There are some with big faith, you're going to have some issues in life that you experience, and it's going to be a little light turbulence. But there are going to be some of you in a little boat going to experience some turbulence, and it's going to hit you real hard. But regardless of what you go through, the same faith will get you through. Y'all not hear me yet. Faith will still get you through no matter what you go through. It could be on a great level or a little level. Faith will still get you through. And so there were some along the way in a smaller boat who begin to experience the same thing as others in another boat. They experienced the same thing, but they all made it to the... Now watch, the Bible says when the storm hit, the waters filled the boat. Now it must took a lot of water to fill a big boat. Just imagine how much water it took to fill a little boat. So the little boat made it through just like the big boat made it through. But what got them through? Somebody shout faith. Ask your neighbor, you got faith? It was faith that got him through. And the little boat filled probably with greater water, but yet it still made it through. Okay, let me prove it to you. And when they sent them away, they took him even as he was in the ship. Remember I told you, underline that. Took him even as he was. How was Jesus in that moment? They took him even as he was. He was a man just like them in the boat, subject to all of the external situations, just like everybody else. You know, y'all gonna get it in a second. And they took him even as he was in the ship, and there also with other little ships, and there was a great storm that rose, wind and waves beat unto the ship, and so now it was full, and he was in the hinder parts of the ship, a man just like everybody else, but yet this man is asleep while they're all fearful. Why was he able to sleep in the midst of a storm? Why was he able in the midst of what everybody else was going through? He was going through just like they were going through, but yet he's asleep. And they are afraid. He was able to sleep. Watch, the Bible says a pillow, but I believe that he was able to sleep on the word that he gave. I believe he was able to sleep with confidence because he had confidence the word he spoke at the beginning of the trip would be settled at the end of the trip. He was able to go to sleep on the word that he had already declared, we're going to the other side. So no matter what happens along the way, no matter what storms come their way, we're going to the other side. I don't care if there's sharks in the water, we're going to the other side. I don't care if there's electric eels, I don't care whatever it is in the water, we're going to the other side. So I can sleep and rest on the fact that I'm going to the other side. No matter what happens, I'm going. Somebody shout, I'm going to the other side. And he arose and rebuked the wind, and he said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? You have no trust, no belief, no support in the word. You don't hold to the word. And they feared exceedingly. And they said to one another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? So there's four types of faith I told you. Number one is dead faith. Faith without works is dead. We see that in James chapter number 2, verse number 17. It says, thus also faith by itself, it does not have works, or have works is dead. Faith without works is dead. So they had some faith on the front end because they were able to get into the boat, but they didn't have enough faith to endure the test and the trials. Can I tell you something? Real faith will produce real fruit. Real faith will produce real fruit. And so in your life, you got to understand this, is that when you have faith, there will be some fruit that will come from the faith that you have. You should be able to see the faith of the people who declare faith by the fruit that they're displaying. They got in the boat. They had faith. But when the tests and trials come, where was their faith? See, you should have seen some real fruit in that moment. Instead of them, that's what Jesus was challenging them. Why are you going to wake me up? why are you going to bother me in this test and this storm? See, some of you, watch this, you're praying, but you're not really praying in faith. Some of us are praying. We're in the ship, but we're not really in faith. And Jesus said, "What? Wait. You got in this boat by faith, but now the test and the trial is coming. Where's your faith? You in church, you saved, but where's your faith? When the tests and trials come, why are you always crying? Oh, God, why is me? Why are we going through this? Why I got to, you know, I pay my tithes. You know, I serve on the deacon board. I feed the homeless every Thursday. Why me?
Where's your faith? Ask your neighbor, where's your faith? Ask your neighbor, got faith? Yeah. And so he challenges them. And so when you have real faith, that should it should produce real fruit. We see Jesus sleeping. So the first type of faith we see is dead faith. They were operating in faith when they got in the boat, but then they got into demonic faith. What is demonic faith? It's intellectual. It's when we try to put our own thought processes to what we're going through. Trying to figure out, why am I going through this? How can I get out of this? What plans and schemes, strategies I can intellectually do to get me out of this thing? And then watch this. We begin to get put into place these type of practices. We begin to try to manipulate God to get us through the problems we're going through. Can I say it like the Bible says? It's witchcraft. We want to manipulate God. We go on a 30-day fast, a 21-day fast, to try to fix the problem that we got ourselves into, hoping that we move the hand of God. God is not moved by your desire to fast. Okay. Somebody shout, ouch. God is not moved by your desire, your plan. God, I'm going on a 7-day fast to get a breakthrough. God not moved by that. You know what God is moved by? Your heart to move closer to him. So the fast is not to come out of the situation. The fast is that I'll come closer to him. And watch this, me drawing closer to him, I draw further out of the situation, because he's out of the situation. So when I fast, I'm close to him, therefore I'm out of it. So God is not looking for you to fast. He's not excited about your fast. Oh, you're going on a fast? Yay! God, he don't get excited when you declare a 7-day fast, 21-day fast. The question is do you have faith that you would draw closer to him in the fast? That's what moves God. And so it's demonic faith. Watch, it's intellectual, that you try to strategize and plan in your mind. And watch this, it's with that type of faith, you actually doubt the plan of God for your life. It's when you begin to strategize your way out that you now go against the plan that God has for your life, because you're trying to do it all on your own, in your own way. The steps of a righteous man is what? Order of the Lord. And so when you try to intellectually strategize your way out, watch this, you're going against the plan of God, because it's your plan and not his plan. Demonic faith. You know, the only difference between the faith that you have and a demon have is this. You have faith to trust in the plan of God. Demons have faith in God, but yet they rebel against his plan for their life. It's just rebellion. That's the only difference. They know the word. They have faith. Even demons tremble at the name of Jesus. They have faith in who he is. They just won't obey him as who he is. So demonic faith says this, is that, God, I know you have a plan for my life, but my plan is better. God, I know you have a will, but I will to do something else because it's easier. I know the fire is 7 times hotter, and really, God, what I can do is I can now compromise just a little bit to stay out the fire. I won't do it all. I'll just do it partially. Instead of getting in the fire to fulfill the will, I'm just going to do whatever it takes to stay out of the fire. Ask your neighbor, where's Daniel? Ask your neighbor, where's Daniel? I'm opening your eyes to Daniel. Watch this. In Daniel chapter 1, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego is captured. Daniel chapter number 2 is a challenge. They go on a fast, or they call it a fast. Daniel just said, I'm not going to eat the king's meat and all that. I'm just going to, you know, just do it God's way. The end of chapter number 2 runs into chapter number 3. King Nebuchadnezzar, these jokers. Say, King, they got these 3 boys, 4 boys, and they, listen, they don't want to serve you wholeheartedly. So we're going to build this golden image. And then when the sound goes off, everybody has to bow at the sound of this golden image. Sound goes off, everybody bows but
Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. How do I know? Because the Bible says that whoever don't bow will be tossed in the fire, turned seven times higher. They're going to burn. So they grab Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But where was Daniel? Ask your neighbor, where's Daniel? Wait a minute. Who was in the fire? But Daniel chapter number 1 said it was four Hebrew boys. Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But in Daniel chapter number 3 is only three. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Where was Daniel? So when the sound came, maybe Daniel didn't bow all the way, but maybe he tied his shoe. Maybe Daniel said, oh, I dropped my wallet. Maybe he didn't all the way compromise, but he compromised. Oh, don't judge Daniel, because some of us compromise just a little. Some of us don't bend and bow all the way, but we may take a knee instead of both knees. Right? And so here this demonic faith says, I don't want the plan of God or the will of God. I'm going to do it my own way. I know the fire is too hot. That's a hard road to plow. So I'm going to try to find another way in order to get this thing done. So I'm going to do it a little different than what God said, but yet I'm still going to try to produce the same results. Somebody shout demonic faith. That's when you're in your head trying to figure it out instead of letting God figure it out for you. And some of us operate time and time, sometime, in demonic faith. You're out there scheming and strategizing on how you can get this thing done. Who can I call? Who can I get to do this? And we begin to do things on our own intellect. Demonic faith. And so it's intellectual. So let's go. I'm almost done. So there's different types of faith. Then there's vain faith. Watch what happens. And he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on the pillow. And they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest not thou that we perish? You're not concerned about us? You're not concerned that we're going down in this ship? Vain, just all about oneself. You're not even concerned about yourself. Neither are you concerned about us. Vain faith. The Bible says in the Gospels, it says, many will come to him and say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Have we not healed in your name? Cast out devils and demons in your name? Jesus said, depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Wait a minute, we did all of this great work in your name and we still got to depart? Yeah, because it was vain faith. You were looking at what you was doing, not who was doing it through you. You were on Facebook talking about, look how much faith I have and what I do. I laid hands on the sick and they recovered. I talked to the demons and they flee. Look what you did instead of who was doing it through you. Vain faith. What I done. What I can do. Vain faith. And so they're saying, Jesus, you're not even concerned about us. We're going down. Vain faith. The last type of faith is saving faith. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they were afraid or feared exceedingly. And said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Can I tell you my last point? It's not enough to just have Jesus with you, but you must also know that he is with you. It's not enough to just have Jesus with you, but you must know that he is with you. It's not enough to have Jesus with you, but you must know that he is with you. What do I mean by that statement? It's not enough just to know that Jesus is with you. Because the Bible says it this way. Mark, it says, lo, that I shall be with you until the very ends of the earth. And Jesus said, I'm going to be with you until the very end. But it's not enough to just know that he's going to be with me. I need to know that he is with me. Because here's the truth. I'm gonna mix it up for you. It's my hood mix. Because the truth of the matter is that everybody who is with you is not for you. Now we got a number of people in here. You got people to your left, to your right. Got people in front of you and behind you. They're with you. We're all together. We're with one another in this place. But here's the hood mix. Everybody that is with you is not for you. Here's the hood. Where my hoodies at? I got any hoodie people in here? You know, from the other side of the track? Yeah, the rest of y'all bougie. But here's the hood mix. The way you can tell that everybody who is with you is really for you, let something pop off. The ones who stay are for you. The ones who flee are just with you. And you know, back in the day when we used to, in the neighborhood, when we were getting a fight, you could tell who was really for you because they fought with you. But the ones who were just with you, they ran. So it's not enough just to know that Jesus is with you. You got to really know he's with me, that he is here for me, that no matter what I go through in life, no matter what the trial, the tribulation, no matter what storm it is, not only is he in the boat with me, but he's in the boat with an answer. No matter what storm I face in life, he's there in the boat with me, and he has an answer for what I'm going through. Jesus is not only there with me, but he's there for me. And now when I have this revelation, the storms that I go through in life, though I may be in a little boat or a big boat, he is the captain of the ship. Y'all not hear me yet. He is the one who has the answer. What manner of man that can take me from this to that? What manner of man can take me from the bottom to the top? What manner of man that will cause me to be from the bottom to be at the top, ahead and not the tail, above and not beneath? What manner of man who would take a poor wretched sinner and redeem him? What manner of man is this that would do such things? When you have saving faith, knowing that he is well able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you could ask or even think, then you can rejoice like Paul when he says, I count it all joy through all trials and adverse temptations. I count it all joy through every storm, every test and trial, through every sickness, every disease, for every lack and infirmity that I would face. I can count it all joy. Why? Because there's a manner of man named Jesus. There's a manner of man named Jesus who is well able. And I believe somebody today, you're going through a tumultuous time, a tempest of a storm in your life. Things don't look like it ought to look. Things aren't happening like you thought it should happen. You got the word, but the word hadn't yet manifested. He said you're going to the other side, but you're struggling just to make it, even in the boat. But you got to hold on to faith. Saving faith. Saving faith. That'll cause you to cross over to the other side. If you would, bow your heads with me. Because there's maybe that one. You're in that little boat, and your boat is being tossed to and fro. It's filling with water, and you're starting to sink. You're getting low. The boat is anchored down with water. And you're afraid because it's now up beyond ankle deep. It's beyond knee deep. It's beyond your waist. It's waters to swim in. And you're saying, God, this is not what you promised. This is not what you said. This is not what I hoped my life would be. I never thought at this age, in this stage, I'll be going through what I'm going through. God, I've been faithful. God, I've been just. I tried to live a righteous life, but yet I'm going through the storm. I hear the Lord say to you today, my son, my daughter, I see the end, even from the beginning. I knew the storm was coming. I knew the trials and the tribulations were at bay, but I could not inform you of what was to come because you wouldn't have trusted me along the way. But my daughter, my son, I need you to trust me even the greater now. That I know that there's waters that are filling your boat. But even as you go through the fire, you won't be singed. Even though you go through the flood, you will not drown. Just hold on to my saving faith. I don't care if you're on a driftboard, a piece of wood in the water, or you may have floaties on your arm, weighing in the water. He says, just hold on to the faith, and I'll get you to the other side. You're going to the other side. Just keep the faith. So if you're here today, you're having a tough time, don't allow dead faith to hold you back. Don't allow your intellect, demonic faith, to prevent you from receiving what God has for you. Don't let your vain faith, because of your great works, the mighty things you have done, prevent you from receiving what God wants to do in your life. That's you today. You're going through and you say, God, I'm struggling right now in my faith. I believe today he wants to encourage your faith. If that's you today, you're struggling in your faith, just lift your hand in there. I want to see you struggling, going through a tough time now, and say, God, I'm struggling with this thing. That's you. Lift your hand. I want to pray for you and with you. That's you, struggling in your faith in the midst of a great storm. And you say, God, today I need your help in this thing. If that's you, thank you, Father. I bless you. I see you praying for you. I see you praying for you. Who else would say, today is me. I need help in my faith today. I want to do that first before I give you the invitation to receive Jesus Christ, because he has already given you a measure of faith regardless if you're a sinner or not. You already have the faith. Matter of fact, it takes that measure of faith for you to believe that he is the Savior. So he had to give you faith before you even get to know him, because you need faith to know him. Jesus. And so exercise your faith now. You need help in your faith. Okay. Thank you, Father. Then there are those who are here today. Maybe you have not asked Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins, knowingly or unknowingly, the sins that you have committed and the pardon of your sins. Then there are those of you who are backslidden. He's calling you back home today. You made a dedication, you gave your life to him, a commitment to him, but you strayed away. He's calling you back home today. If that's you today, even those online, asking him forgiveness of your sins and the pardon of your sins, and those who are backslidden but coming back today, if that's you today, do me a favor. Lift your hand now. That's you. Thank you, Father. Saying, God, forgive me of my sins. That's you. Lift your hand. Thank you, Lord. God, we bless you. God, we thank you. God, we give you praise. It's in Jesus' mighty name. My last appeal to you today is, you don't have a church home, and you say, today is the day. I'm connecting with Elevate Church. You've been here multiple times. Well, this is your time to connect. That's you today. You don't have a church home, looking for one in the midst of transition. That's you today. Would you lift your hand? Thank you, Father. God, we bless you. God, we thank you. In Jesus' mighty name, first time, second time, it don't matter. God, we bless you, and we give you the glory. Amen and amen. Come on, stand to your feet and give God some praise all over this place on today. Amen. This is what we're going to do. I want to serve you the Lord's Supper. Amen. And this is the way we're going to do it. Amen. I want you, amen. We're going to have our ministers stand at the door. Because here's the thing. It don't have to be as formal as you think it should. He said, just do it as often in remembrance of me. Y'all waiting for the white gloves, the table of remembrance. So we're going to take communion. And as you're departing from the building, we're going to issue your communion. Amen. And as you're walking out in faith, Jesus said, do this as often in remembrance of me. So just like the lepers who encountered Jesus, the 10 lepers, and Jesus told them, go show yourself to the priest. And the Bible says, as they walked along, they were healed. So by faith, as you're walking, taking that communion, remembering what he is able to do in your life, watch how he manifests in your life. Healing is going to take place. Deliverance is going to take place. Just by you walking out by faith. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, now in the name of Jesus, we thank you for the time that we had of this gathering. Father, as your people departing from this place, as they are partaking of the communion, as our ministers are getting in place at the doors, we thank you now, O God, for what you shall do through this act of faith.
Father, we thank you now that as they're partaking of this communion, supping with you, coming into an intimate place with you, Father, we thank you for a manifestation of your glory in their life. God, we bless you. We thank you, oh God. And God, we give you the glory, God, for what you're going to do. We bless you now, God. We bless you now, God. We bless you now, God. We bless you now, God, in the name of Jesus. Somebody shout amen and amen. God bless you and God keep you is my prayer. Even for those of you online, we thank God for you tuning in today. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. For all of our first time, second time, even third time guests, I would love to shake your hand, meet you and greet you in the foyer as you depart. In Jesus' name, amen.